you let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up. Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life. It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
Let's ride!
I'll tell you, I'm trying to get my old, if you're watching live, I know for the podcast it doesn't matter, you kind of just imagine what's going on, but I'm trying to get my camera angle, my normal camera angle that comes from over here, my left side, going, but it's just not working for me, no matter what I do. Been trying this for a couple of days now, but who the hell knows? In either case, welcome everybody. It's 7:02 p.m. on the East Coast. This is Quite Frankly. I'm Frankly. It's Friday, April 1st, April Fools. And not going to be talking about anything of substance tonight. So this is a good time. This is a good time to either turn off, go to sleep, go about the rest of your evening, or continue with me with very low expectations about what's going to happen. I'm pretty beat up. Beat up in a good way and in just a tired way. And I want to get your calls. We're just going to get a little personal tonight and all this shit. I have some stuff to get to that I think are really interesting, including some Alex Jones video. Some stuff that when you think the guy is just off his meds and his rocker, whatever other euphemism you want to use, he goes and does something else. So I want to talk about that just because it's funny. So anything that we could laugh at together would be fantastic. And just, you know, take calls on whatever the hell you want. If you do feel so inclined to call, I know people usually don't. But I have to say that the good thing I feel beat up about is a really good workout I had yesterday. Had a workout yesterday that I'm just feeling so much today. As the day went on, it's getting worse and worse, probably because I'm getting more and more dehydrated because of how active I'm being. So I have to keep slugging the water. Then, of course, I had a lunch with my good buddy Sebastian today. And at lunch, I met him in Stamford somewhere. We had Stamford, Connecticut, or Darien, Connecticut, wherever the hell it was. And we had lunch at this Japanese place, and we're just talking about, you know, getting caught up. We see each other every couple of months or so. He's a family man now, but he's pretty much my best friend out of college. One of the first people I met out of college in freshman year. We had our freshman orientation, preceptorial. You get preceptorial class in freshman year at Manhattanville College. I don't know if that's what you get elsewhere, but it was pretty much a class that was across the board, just helped kids get into the swing of things. The modus operandi, if you will. Had some assignments, some fun stuff, but I don't know what it was. Precept. I don't even remember any of the assignments. I think we had to patent. I think we had to come up with an idea for a product. Sebastian came up with the idea. It wasn't marketing or anything like that. I think it was just creative exercises. And my buddy Sebastian came up with an idea for a ring of cream cheese. You know how you get the one dose of cream cheese? You peel it off, you scoop it out, you spread it on. Well, he wanted the one dose of cream cheese to come in a ring that matches up perfectly with the average size bagel. So you peel off the top, you flip it over, and then maybe you can just spread it out, but it's already in a ring. I remember the teacher being so enthralled by this idea. She's like, let's talk about this after class. Let's talk about this after class. That's a really good idea. Really good idea. I forget what my terrible idea was. But Sebastian's idea was he got pulled aside for it. So who knows? Who knows where that went or didn't go? Obviously, it didn't go anywhere. Because Sebastian went on to do other things. Although very, very successful. Works in sports marketing at pretty much, I think, the world's top sports marketing firm. And he's all over new technology and pairing up brands with technology and enhancing different types of organizations and events. His company is all over there, all over the Super Bowl. They're all over the Grammys and the Oscars. They were the ones that set up that Twitter or Instagram or Snapchat, whatever booth at the Grammys a couple of years ago that all the celebrities were getting in front of and taking pictures and shit like that. Big into all types of video technology, GoPro type of stuff. They're looking into certain things like, you know, drone racing. Drone racing is getting crazy, man. I don't know if anybody... Have you guys seen any of those... Let's see who's in the chat room. Mad Mints, Ann Caparato, Frankie Castle. I don't know if you guys have seen any of those drone racing videos, but that is nuts. Nuts. Real nuts. These people are racing drones in warehouses at like these unbelievable speeds. And there's the dexterity and the maneuverability of these things, unbelievable. We should get a picture. We should get a video of it up. I think we watched that video on ZNY once before. But I was sitting with Sebastian, and we're just going over everything that's going on with the network, with all of the YouTube channels, with 10-second songs and all the brands, the band and all that stuff. And, you know, it's always one big brainstorming session around Sebastian. You know, a lot of the things that we're sitting in the middle of right now were conceptualized around a hookah in Sebastian's garage and back porch. And man, we got all of our best ideas sitting around a hookah and drinking wine and eating cheese and supersad and anything else that makes us sound Italian except for the hookah. Be like an Italian spread of cold cuts and grilled vegetables, all that shit. But then we just got our hookah, man. Love it. And you should check it out. You should check out some of the stuff that we've done over the years, man. It's been pretty fun. It goes completely unnoticed, but looking back over 10 years, it's fun. Any of the case, not to bore you guys, but what comes up in those conversations for me is just, you get to really reflect on what you're doing, what you want to do. I feel like sometimes you start doing something you love for one reason, and it quickly gets turned into something you do because you've always done it. And then you start wondering, oh, man, am I being successful? And then you start wondering what success is. And then you start, well, at least me, then I start reminding myself, trying to talk myself back from the ledge, because I know that is one ledge that you fall over the edge of, forget about it. The whole day, the whole week is ruined. You're mired in some kind of an existential crisis, just questioning everything that you do. Everything that you do. And I think that the real thing here is everybody's idea of success is different. And it's brought on by different things. What I would like to know from people in the chat room, Mad Mints, Max, Frankie, Nikki, what your idea of success is. You know, what is a successful life? You know, what would you have had to have happen in your life so that when the time that your life ends comes, no matter however it comes, you are a little bit more prepared to go? That's what I want to know. You know, is it a way of living? Is it the things that you do? Is it getting the things that you do up to a certain level? Is it recognition, fame? Is it money? Is there a monetary value on any of it? Is it property? Is it I don't know. Who knows? I don't know. What I've found that is a little bit more helpful to me is that as time has gone on and as we have done more and more things over here, you know, and it's been a struggle. It has been a struggle, but it's a struggle that we've found a lot of fun in undertaking. But I would say that the thing that gets me a little bit more at ease is that as we keep pressing on and we develop our own things, obviously this show is a very, very important thing in my life. The band has always been an important thing in my life. Music has always been an important thing in my life. And of course, entertainment. You know, Anthony and I have been on stages since we were, you know, barely out of diapers. Our father is a thespian, if there ever was one, and we were always in plays and on stages and going to see Broadway and being coached and doing kitchen rehearsals and for all different types of community theater and school plays and, I mean, what have you. We were always doing something, always encouraged to perform. And I enjoy that because I enjoy different types of artistic expression. Now, for me, it hasn't really, you know, stage acting hasn't really stuck with me, although I would love to do it again one day. But what has stuck with me is writing and writing scripts, writing short stories, really bringing that out and exploring type of thoughts and what kind of lessons or what kind of any kind of message that you want to convey. Because if you think about a music and broadcast and writing and the stage, it doesn't matter what it is. People are trying to get messages out. It's like human civilization is like one big neural network to me. And the way that you can transmit thoughts and ideas are numerous. And it's really, really something. I mean, if there's anything that could be left behind on this planet as a relic that any other civilization would find after our imminent destruction comes, it would be that, you know, we were very, very creative. I mean, the creativity on this planet is staggering. That's uplifting to me. And then you think about the Vincent van Goghs, the artists, the writers, the painters, the people who didn't even live long enough to see their success, their own success. And we say, oh, the Van Gogh. And we idolize people who didn't even know, who didn't even know, weren't even around to see themselves reach any form of success, who died probably thinking they were failures or just completely insane. You know, that's the thing that gets me. That's another thing that unlocks things with me when I start freaking out about, am I being successful? If I take a 5-minute break to play a video game, to get my mind off of things, am I being a lazy ass? Am I taking a break? Do I, for not being on my phone and thinking of things, messaging people and lining things up and constantly moving, meter mind? You know, it's something to consider. Frankie says he likes Stefan Molyneux. I like Stefan as well. I have to listen to his podcast a lot more. But you see, my thing is, I think if we all had better grasps on reality, then I think that all this other stuff goes away. Now, when someone like myself, and I'm sure everybody in the chat room, considers life and considers success and considers our passions and considers our relationship to our environment, to people around us, to the short nature of life, you know? How quickly it ends. As soon as we start figuring it out, some of us never do, it's gone. You know, it's something to consider. That if we really were asking the right questions and if we were really engaging in the right conversations, how much gravity and how much influence would politics, something as grimy as something as low IQ as government politics in particular, how much of that would even be real hard factors in our lives to the point where it really makes a difference? You know, the problem that we have right now, if you think about it, or at least from my perspective, is that when so many people are so disconnected from real questions and real good conversations and healthy conversations and different outlooks, and they get themselves away from dollars, from cents, from dependence, freeing their mind up, you tend not to want to be involved with anybody else. There are people who are never, millions, tens of millions in this country alone, who are going to go to their deathbeds with barely anything to their name and any real sense of enlightenment. And those are the people that are very useful to the creeps that we analyze every night on this show, and the creeps that everybody in this chat room analyzes on their blogs and in general, you know, amongst each other. So it's the unenlightened that are really taken advantage of. The people who are really made to think that, you know, their lot in life is, you know, their life is supposed to be made comfortable by something else. Stefan Molyneux is also a guy who has been very, very instrumental in getting someone like me to even see or instill the ridiculousness that is government and the role of government in people's lives. What people actually think government is and why they need it, because they would never be able to live. How are they supposed to support their family if it wasn't for a government? You think about that. You think about that for a second. You think about the wild animals in nature. You think about people around the world who pretty much live in the wild. You think about those people. Those are real human beings. They're more human than I am. Seriously. The people who are just one with their environment, they live off the earth. I mean, think about success. Think about bringing up the idea of Western culture success, you know, or common misconceptions or common perceptions of success in Western culture to somebody who lives an indigenous existence, whether it be in the Amazon or in, you know, in the wilderness of Australia, the Congo. Think about that. Thank you, Nikki.
It's Lady Liberty. Lady Liberty.
Brought to you, my shirt is brought to you by Sky Graphics. SkyGraphics.com, SkyGraphx.com. Good friends, very good friends of us, Sky. Skylar Schatz does his thing. So think about that. It's Lady Liberty in a coffin. I'm telling you, check out Sky Graphics. Tell them that Zaralza sent you. Everybody who listens to this show would love the shit that they make. This is top-of-the-line art. Just top-of-the-line, thought-provoking art. Go on. Just check out their entire wardrobe. You'll go nuts for it. I'm telling you. I am telling you. I promise. I would stake anything on it. Stake anything. Okay, so that's a little bit of the questions I want to ask. And why was I contemplating success? Because I'll tell you something, guys. My head wants to split open more often than not. The things that I know we all have our responsibilities, but you know, the responsibilities that weigh on me, it's annoying sometimes and really, really frustrating and dejecting because it keeps me from creating content. I don't spend as much time on this show and on my drumming and on even physical fitness. I used to work out 5 to 6 days a week. I'm getting in 3 maybe. Getting in 3 now. I got to get at least 4 in now. That's real, real important. I've gotten my eating in line, feeling good with that, but so many things weigh down on you to the point where you can't take care of the essentials, especially the creative. Like I don't spend any time booking people for the show, booking guests. I think we're working out another night that Chris Ann Hall is going to be joining us. That'll be a good one. But I mean, I'm happy we got the interns that are going to be coming in soon. See what they can do. They're not adept in tracking down and booking politicians or social figures or anything like that. But we're going to give it a shot. And my main thing is writing. I feel real disconnect when I'm not writing and reading. And when a week goes by and I haven't picked up a book to read something, oh man, that sucks. When all you read is newspapers or articles. And especially that, you know, newspaper, and that's the other reason why I wanted to do some really good writing with Zen Live. And if anybody wants to contribute to the Zen Live blog, please get in touch with me either on Facebook, Tumblr, Twiddler. Oh, my God. I need. A shower, a bong rip, and a blowjob. Who doesn't, right? what was I saying? Interns, writing, reading, blah. Yeah. Oh, that's the other thing. Zen Live. If you want to reach out for that, because here's what we wanted to do. We wanted to create news that I would like reading, that I would enjoy reading. News articles or thoughts. Entries that are 200 to 300 words, absolute maximum. The who, what, where, why, when, so pretty much the slug line right in there. And then I just want to hear what kind of history lesson we can look back to. What other time in history can we look back to? Give us a lesson in history. That's all I want. I want to learn something. I want to be informed of what's going on, and I want to learn a little bit of history. That's all I want to see. That's the thing that kills me when a whole week goes by and all I'm reading, and I'm not writing anything creatively, all I'm doing is writing rebuttals or writing arguments, things to bring out onto the show, or things that I am countering with on my blog or anything else. That takes a real, real toll on you. Yeah, you're thinking, you know, you're countering somebody's argument, but you're not creating anything. You're not creating anything. You're taking a little bit of something away from yourself sometimes. Hopefully somebody gets the message, but that's not the same as you know, telling a story or reading something. Some people don't want to write fiction or want to write short stories about anything, nonfiction, biographies, whatever. Some people are more readers. Some people don't like either. All I know is I like both. And when I don't have that, and all I have are articles, and the articles we read today, Nobody's giving the who, what, where, why, when, and a little bit of history. Everybody's giving the their side of a story, their interpretation of a story, and then a scathing, and then a, just a lashing out at whoever their sworn political foe is. That's tiring, man. That's tiring, because then you're not reading and you're not learning anything. You're watching people fight constantly. It's and then how long? How long until you start just becoming detached and disconnected? You need to get away from things. Dude, I gotta get away from things a lot of times. That's why shows like tonight happen, where you refuse to talk about anything else. You know? It's not like watching your parents fight. But it's just, you know, if all people around you doing are fighting, oh, blah. God, it does something. It does some bad damage, I tell you. I'm on the same wavelength as you today. Today was a reset day, Gadget Doc says. Madmin says, I wish I worked out that much. Madmin, I'm telling you, man, Kung Fu has done the Fu Jiao. The Fu Jiao system has done wonders for me, and I'm learning this more and more, because the exercise you get in the form, the iron wire training in the form, the internal tension. I would do a lot of isometrics with my clients anyway. You know, I'd have them sitting in squat poses. I'd have them using low weight but focusing on flexing and holding, especially people who are coming back from injury, you know, to work up against your own attention instead of having an outside negative force coming down on you. That is all Fu Jiao Pai is. It is just I'm feeling a different type of internal strength. Do some three-star hitting, man. I'd love to do some three-star hitting with some of my big powerlifting friends. I'd love to do it. Just see who can last longer. It's a whole different type of thing. And that saved me, because you can do that anywhere. You're pretty much walking around. You have a gym built into you, you know? I love that. And Caparato says, praxeology says that new ideas can be derived by argument. 100%. I'm not saying that it's a bad thing. I'm saying just the over exposure to it. I mean, too much of anything is not good. Too much of the sun. Too much of drugs, many types of drugs, any kind of substance, drinking, smoking. Too much exercise is a bad thing. You know. Gadget Doc says, Frank, have you ever looked into Pound? I think you would love that with your clients, because it would link two of your passions, drumming and fitness. No, I haven't. But I have recommended quite a few clients to, therapeutic drumming, you know, drum therapy. A lot of that is still out there. It's a great thing. In fact, I hate running so much that the drumming really takes it up. I like just upping my reps on drums. By the way, I don't know what's going on with the other room. The new computer is in the performance room. A mixer, microphone, and a webcam. The computer is hooked up. It's been set up. It has internet. But Mike just can't seem to get the audio to broadcast live. That's the last thing that we have standing in our way before I start, you know, doing some like pre-show and post-show jams on the drum set and stuff. So that's going to be fun. Oh, I hear the thunder now. It's here. Okay, you know what? Let's shift up a little bit. 7:30. So the first half of the show is gone. I would love to put this up here for a second. I know everybody has seen this because I got it off of Tumblr. But Alex Jones, okay, I watched this in bed the other night with Lauren. I got the other night. I said, Lauren, listen, I go, I need you to watch something with me. And she said, what is it? I said, it's Alex Jones. And the thing pressed play by accident, and she could hear a little bit of the audio before I can actually show it to her. And just from the audio, from the first couple of seconds, she said, I don't know, I'm nervous. Do I want to watch this? And I said, listen, you have to watch it because it's absolutely mind-boggling. Mind-boggling. Okay? Let's watch this for a second. I know everybody knows what's coming. This is on another level. Okay, now we had the gay frogs. Let's do gay frogs for a second. Okay, this thing that makes me happy all day, every day, whenever I see it. Where is it?
Frogs gay.
Ready?
Serious crap. I don't like them putting chemicals in the water that turn the friggin' frogs gay. Serious crap.
So he gets very, very upset. He's very, 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 I would love to have him on a show, but he wouldn't do that. He protects his brand. The one thing about Alex Jones that I will say is that he has traditionally brought on some pretty good writers, and InfoWars and Prison Planet has been a pretty good source of contrarian news for me. And I have really enjoyed it, and I still go back to it. But as far as Alex Jones goes, I mean, anybody, if you know how I conduct myself, I'm always trying to bring new people in. I want people calling in. I want people, you know, coming on to cover story. I want people writing with me. I want to create big, big masterminds and big, big groups and communities, because if you're really in this, if you're really in any of this, and I'm talking about just the thinking, the enlightenment game, we're trying to get everybody to the next enlightenment. That's my goal, to try to help, to be a part of the movement of getting people to really become enlightened and to philosophize again and to philosophize on individual liberty again and what proper roles of governments are and how we can actually build ourselves up from within. You know, I think that there's a lot of great room to go from there. Alex Jones, on the other hand, he says all the right things, and he's, you know, he definitely has the balls. He jumps on the bullhorn. He'll protest outside of Bilderberg. He'll protest outside of the Federal Reserve. He'll be in the streets. He'll be screaming. He'll be doing his thing. He's got the balls, but he's also very, very protective of his brand. I haven't seen him being very helpful to smaller people trying to come up and talk about similar things, you know, and whatever. But look at this shit, okay? This is odd, very, very odd. Actually, it goes beyond odd. Listen.
Wait a minute. I'm feeling really powerful right now. All of you are going to submit to us. Our time of liberalism is here. You drink that fluoride. You take those vaccines. Donald Trump says vaccines might be dangerous because one of his kids got hurt. Shut up! If you don't have free speech, you understand? You listen to me. I rule this country now. I'm feeling really powerful right now. All of you are going to submit to us. Our time of liberalism is here. You drink that fluoride. You take those vaccines. Donald Trump says vaccines might be dangerous because one of his kids got hurt. Shut up! If you don't have free speech, you understand? You listen to me. I rule this country now.
You know, the thing that gets me is, Johnny, what's going on, man? Dude, it's the thing that gets me is the hair. His hair is just falling over to one side. It's a little just matte of hair now, and he's just got this big hulking body. And what? It sounds like the cameraman was like about to crack up. Wait, hold on. Where's your?
Can you see and hear me?
I can see you. Say something else.
I can hear me.
Okay, there you go. You're back.
Okay. He looks like there should be a WWE logo in the corner.
Oh, totally. Oh, hell yes.
I'm going to send you a link on Skype.
Hey, now, when did this come out? It looks like one of these new, because he spends so much time on Facebook Live. In fact, he just went live 3 hours ago, and here it's a 15-minute video. I was thinking about playing the whole thing and just listening to him. I don't know if you guys want to just listen to it and just and have fun with it, but the title of the upload is "It's Official: Election to Be Canceled." So it sounds like the 2016 election is going to be canceled.
Just like school?
Yes.
Why can I hear me? Ugh.
Yeah, school's canceled. Everything's canceled. The pool is closed.
Well, you can't say that.
Why not?
That was an old 4chan thing.
Dude,
that
was a racist
thing. It was bad.
No, the pool is closed due to AIDS?
Yes.
Yeah, no, I remember that shit, man. Let me tell you something about history. In 2006, we started this show, obviously. By summer of 2007, we got away from, well, we started ZNY. We got away from purely audio, and we found video. And what we found at that time was Ustream and Justin TV were just getting started. We went with Ustream because Justin TV was by invite only. Justin TV is now Twitch. And we became friends with Brad Huntsable from Ustream. And it was a very, very big population of Anon users on Ustream. Big population. Raids were called all the time, dude. Websites were shut down. We were raided once, but then a lot of our Anon friends or our trolls, they started liking our show and they started hanging out with us. Now, something weird happened. That was actually the beginning of the biggest catfish story that we have to tell. Okay, we lived catfish before catfish and before fucking MTV and
this
our
sounds like a Friday night story.
Oh, dude, our catfish story is real fucking creepy, dude. Real creepy. I can get all that shit together. We got to talk about this. That's another thing. Next Friday, put it in your calendars.
Do we have a chef night?
Liam Chef. Okay. Next Friday, especially Max and Gadget Doc. Next Friday, Liam Chef.
Grandstands,
he's coming on to talk. What did he say? I think he's coming on to talk HIV, to talk, I think, a little bit of space. So watch out.
He wanted to talk NASA, right?
Yeah. Hold on. Let me see here. He had sent it to me. Liam Chef. Let's see here. He wants to cover vaccines, space, and a little bit of HIV. So he wants to talk about vaccines and all that stuff. Max, you're on.
Oh. Here I am. Hi. Hi.
Hey now. So what?
No. You go.
Okay. Johnny, what were we saying? Johnny, were we saying anything of substance? Johnny, do you hear me?
Johnny, are you okay? Are you okay?
Are you okay, Johnny? Johnny?
I'm excited to have Liam back on again. So the topic was going to be AIDS.
HIV, yes. Now, HIV. We're definitely going to spill over. I told
hey,
him that
Frank,
I
don't think we're live.
We're not live?
Frankie Castle wrote and cut. Oh, you're back on my stream.
No, we're streaming over here.
Okay.
Something happened with you. There was a hiccup because you were frozen for a little bit, but Ustream did not drop out.
All right.
But what I was going to say, maybe we'll save the catfish story for the week after next.
All right.
The catfish.
Did you talk about the article I'd sent you like right at the end of last show?
Oh shit! Yeah, no, I did not talk about that. We can do that right now if you want. I was just gonna.
I thought Johnny would find that interesting as well.
Hey,
Johnny, the audience.
Johnny, did you do that the Vox?
Oh, I did.
The simple calculator.
Oh, I did.
Everybody in the chat room, I'm gonna put this. Actually, Max, can you put it in the chat room?
Yeah, let me throw it in. Again.
I will. And Gadget Doc, I think you're a moderator. If you can just make sure that links are allowed, that would be good. But here's this is from Vox.com. This simple calculator tells you how each presidential candidate's tax plans affects you. Okay, so this is really, really unbelievable. And I just throw in, let's just do it together. 2015 annual income. Let's just say $45,000. Does that sound about, or 50? What do you think we should do?
You can get by with 50 here.
50. Let's go $50,000. Okay. Are we single or are we married?
We're all single.
Okay, let's go single. How many children? Zero. Okay, and there you go.
Thank God.
Ready?
Modern technology.
Are you ready for this? For the proposed tax plans of somebody who is who brings in $50,000, which is not a lot of money. It's decent depending on what state you live in, and also if you are single, then you can have a nice little existence on 50. But based on all the proposed tax plans right now, $50,000 single with no children, you would pay about $12,910 in 2017 under the current tax code. Okay.
Now this is taxes out of your paycheck we're talking.
Yes. Okay.
They've included payroll and excise and stuff like that. Okay.
So under Donald Trump, you would pay $3,680 less a year. Under Cruz, you would pay $2,670 less a year. Under Clinton, you would pay only $60 more, so things would stay about the same. And under Bernie Sanders, for someone who is making $50,000 a year,
middle class
person, would pay $5,430 more.
But Frank, 1%.
It's
have you not heard?
So,
have you not heard about the 1%?
God,
the apologists coming back on this are saying, oh, but you get free health care.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
I don't pay $5,000 for health care.
No.
Private health care.
No. Yeah. In fact, if you look at the Obamacare right now, if you got the bronze plan, I think that the bronze plan deductible is about $5,600. Mm-hmm. So you're paying more. And
Mensah argued with his grandmother about this.
And it's not even going to be totally free at that point. You're still going to have stuff. And here, what I want to do is I want to see what this $15 minimum wage.
Oh, that, New York. Dude, New York is fucking doomed. New York is doomed. There are going to be people just – you watch this summer. There's probably going to be an increase of a couple thousand people. Oh, actually, no. The increase isn't going to come this summer. But $15 an hour, and it's going to be messy.
Yeah, the apologists, like one of the first articles that came up on commondreams.org, breaking news and views for the progressive community.
Yeah, breaking news and views. All it is views, common dreams that we hold in common. That's all you're saying. It's a dream. This is a fantasy. You know, I dream plenty of things at night. When I wake up, it's over.
Their response is saying, oh, no, what we really need to do is calculate a benefit calculator, and then you'd see that Bernie comes out on top, because we'd have all the health care and the paid work leave and everything like that.
You know what's funny?
And the healthcare, free college.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, of course.
I would love to see somebody come up with a benefit calculator, because we're being showed the benefit. I mean, we're being sold this nonsense because of the benefits. We know what your proposed benefits are. That's why people who don't understand how money works think it's a good idea, because of the benefit. So who are you even publishing that article for? The people who have already swallowed this shit, hook, line, and sinker? What are you doing? Talking about preaching to the choir, put out a benefit.
You know, the thing is, like, when people talk about healthcare, I wonder, you know, like for example, my dad gets heartburn, he takes Nexium, right? Nexium's not that cheap, but it's not that expensive. And I'm like, what is the plan? What is their goal here? To abolish, like all sorts of free market aspects to healthcare? Because what I have in my hand, I get poison ivy like fucking crazy. And I live in the woods and I'm an idiot and I just don't look for it, right? But I buy this a lot. This is Benadryl. Will Bernie cover this for me? Or will Bernie only cover if I, like, cut my leg off?
It should be, everything should be covered.
You know, I mean, it's like, where do you, you know, it's such, it's so arbitrary, all of it, really. Like, where do you draw the line?
Where do you draw the line? I mean, this, it gets applied to everything. Once something is devoid of logic, reason, and any kind of philosophical principle, then it doesn't, you don't stop. Just like when we were talking about gender identity, and we're talking about, you know, if you declare yourself, it's like, hold on. Hold on a second. This is the world that we live in today. Ready? Hold on. Hold on, wait.
Can I... So, have you guys heard about Caudi v. Quebec?
What's that? Who?
This is a Supreme Court ruling from Canada in which it was ruled that... the court found the act of that single-payer health care violated the right to life and security of a person.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Canadian health care was deemed a civil rights violation. That's how... What was it? Last week we covered... We went from Cuba to the NHS to Canada. We went a couple other places. And also, there was a couple of really great articles and blog posts that I read this week that even broke down the common misconceptions of how open and free even Scandinavian healthcare plans are. How not everything is covered, and it's amazing. But here's talking about arbitrary and talking about just having to deal with it. Now, here is a clip from The Office that is just one of the greatest things, the greatest showing of just naive understanding. Here's Michael Scott declaring bankruptcy, everybody.
I declare bankruptcy!
Is that it?
Wait.
Hey, I just wanted you to know that you can't just say the word bankruptcy and expect anything to happen.
I didn't say it. I declared it.
I didn't say it. I declared it.
Well, you know, I mean, if you look at history, you know, there's precedent for this sort of things, but there has to be some sort of action behind it. You know, you declare independence, you're going to have to, you know, make some sort of move on top of that.
Yeah, well, you declare yourself a woman, you declare yourself black instead of white, like that, like that Rachel Dalziel girl. I mean, that's it. You declare yourself things, and we're in a place now where we realize that it's so much there's so much riding on keeping very feeble-minded people in your hand and not being able to apply any reasonable level of logic or, you know, pragmatism or, you know, adult kind of views of the world, that you keep people you just cater to them and almost like enable them in believing that, yes, declaring this, putting this out there, whatever you feel that day is what you are, blah, 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 and it's going to be validated instead of maybe psychologically assessed and seeing if there's any imbalances or if there's any, you know, I don't know.
If you want to talk about feeble-minded, I've been talking about this because I just found out about it. We both live near nuclear power plants, you and I.
Yes.
We have what is quoted as a full-scale FEMA and local agency training exercise going on within a 10-mile radius of said power plant this upcoming week. And it's fine for everyone that there's going to be FEMA trucks driving around the streets or Humvees. And I'm just like, you know, the people look at that and they're like, oh, that's good. That's very good for our society. I'm like, have you not seen what these people have done prior? Do you not look at history? Do you not look at Katrina and look at, you know, nothing beyond what you see with your two eyes in this very moment.
So here in Boulder, Colorado, there were the floods in 2013 where it was a 1,000-year flood that just like was ready to destroy the plains, and many cities were completely cut off from others. Roads washed out, bridges got knocked out.
My roads.
And in fact, they're still working on repairing many of the roads.
You don't say.
Yeah, it's taken 3 years. But FEMA had decided that the best evacuation zone for people was the YMCA, which happens to be right along the river. And it's like, if you don't need more any evidence of like, what are they thinking? Then I don't know what to give you to.
It's funny. It's very funny.
It's awful. It's terrifying.
It's awful. It's terrifying, but it's hilarious. I mean, what else can you say? I mean, you watch Cats. Like, here's, let me put it to you this way. I understand that cats, house cats, are, and cats in general, but especially house cats, very fidgety, easily scared, ruffled creatures. Okay. You open up a new black bag, a black trash bag, to take all out the garbage out. The second that you whip that thing out, they go running for the hills. Vacuum cleaners running for the hills. They scream. They run into corners. They trap themselves. They don't know how to get out, even though nobody's coming after them.
Yep.
They think the people that have dedicated their time to keeping them alive, fed, nurtured, loved, and pampered, and completely, prim.
Is Pyretta in the room?
Was that? No, Pyretta's out there.
Okay, good. I don't want her to hear this.
Yeah, but I chase her all the time. You know, we run after, because, you know, especially when she started gaining a little weight, we said, oh, no, she's definitely got to exercise more. So we started chasing her. And, but the funny thing is that even when they're scared of ridiculously stupid shit, like, even if I just stand up too fast, they run away like, oh my God, it's happening! It's happening! You know, it's finally happening! They're killing me!
It's like you damn libertarians.
Seriously. I liken that to, I mean, humans as well. You think, you look at people when they react so frantically to a situation and they make such an obviously stupid move and they just automatically corner themselves worse than they did before, whether the threat is real or not.
To you think know the bread and milk people?
Who?
The bread and milk.
Oh, during the blizzards? Dude, yeah. That I'm so happy that Vic DiBattista, he made that one video on YouTube that went super viral. He was on a show once before too. He's a New Yorker, and we loved him down when that first came out and went viral years ago, because everybody knows, I mean, that was how it was in my family too. We couldn't stand it. There's a flurry coming in. There's a couple of inches coming in. We don't have milk. We don't have eggs. We don't have bread. We don't have milk. And you think about people just sitting around just drinking glasses of milk just because it's snowing outside. It's ridiculous. Look at that.
Are we going to make toast? Somebody help.
Oh, my God. Toast is amazing.
It is.
But you gotta do like a little bit of butter and cinnamon and sugar and toast it. Yeah, I recruited the cat up here. We started talking about cats. I gotta get the cat out.
We have cat cam.
Cat cam.
The max cat here. Cam.
Look at you, you regal beast.
can I bring up some other articles I found interesting?
Yeah, sure. Well, since we already went through the tax thing, so
yeah.
That's for $50,000. Guys,
even if you're making minimum wage under Bernie, it's a payroll tax.
Yeah,
for a payroll tax, you still go up and are paying like $1,800 more.
You know, the good thing is about this. You know, he has a lot of really dumb children. The college kids going after him, people who have not secured their first paycheck yet. They're supporting Bernie Sanders, especially all the kids in SUNY Purchase over here, about 5 miles down the road, that walked out on Hillary Clinton yesterday in a showing of solidarity for Bernie Sanders. They're in what they're doing is they're voting by what they see on their plate right now, What they see on their plate right now is they're in their college years. They know they're amassing massive amounts of debt for an end game, for a degree, a field of study that's probably not going to make them very, very well off. They're probably never going to pay off this shit before the age of 60. They're looking at what's in front of them. School, they think school for all. Great, that's what they believe. This progressive mentality of if we just make money available, all kids could be an Einstein. Absolutely not. All kids, many kids, most kids are no Einsteins. No, you can't throw money at a child and make them worth a damn. I'm sorry. Some kids are cut out for college. Some are not. It's a choice in many respects, but other times it's a matter of being able to assess what our skills are. Are we good at math? Are we really going for something that we want to do? I think, like, everybody, you think, oh, well, I have to go to college. What do I want to do? Do I want to be a psychologist? Do I want to be this? Do I want to be a teacher? Do I want, like, no. No. Have you
Russian literature?
Well, have you done anything? Have you tried?
Here's the thing. At least if you're studying Russian literature, you probably learned Russian, and translators are very, very good demand. I mean, that's one of the things that irks me about a lot of, like, modern history degrees. When you look at, like, a really, really good classical historian, they might know Latin and Greek and German and French and English, and they're reading all these primary sources. Whereas, like, the modern liberal arts degree, I don't know if they're getting into that the same way.
First-hand experience, my U.S. history class did have a two-part textbook. One part of the textbook was purely primary sources, Common Sense, Thomas Paine, Correspondence from the Revolution. It was actually a really good textbook.
Oh.
I should recommend it. But yeah, I am sure that's not
standard.
Know, yeah, blanket. Mm. I'll tell you, on the good side of things, when it comes to colleges, I believe it was a friend of the show, Liberty Bill's girlfriend, mentioned she saw some guys on her campus. I don't know where she goes to school or anything, that were holding taxation is theft signs.
Ooh,
nice.
And they caught on from the meme. Did you guys see the Google search charts?
Oh, I've been loving.
Fantastic.
The meme, what this has turned into. When I saw, dude.
And it's happening the perfect time of year, an election year, right in early April.
When you have to file your taxes.
Oh, definitely. Backwards. Oh, I always said, and I've heard this from other people too, and I am in complete agreement. They should, tax day should be the day before election day. Tax day.
I like that.
The 100% move election day to the day after tax day and see how many people keep their jobs. I'm telling you, do that. Oh my God, just do it.
Well, it doesn't matter too much since 47% of people don't pay taxes, right?
So. Yeah. That is
all
true.
All you got to do is convince the 4% of government contractors to ally with the 47% of other, you know, kind of recipients.
Oh, man. You want to talk about firsthand government contractor experience? What is it called? Oh, God. It's not Sterling Martin, and I'm going to forget now. It's one of these military contractors, and Gadgetok might peep in.
Lockheed Martin?
Nope. It's their big thing is in Massachusetts. Anyways, I was at a community college. It was like a pre-engineering type thing where you transfer credits, and this guy came in to, you know, basically recruit, talk about what they do and stuff, and all they do is government contracts. Mm-hmm. And they were talking about this JLEN system, and I don't remember what it stands for, but basically it's a giant surveillance blimp that by 2017 will float over Washington, D.C. 24/7, 365, and just monitor the city, look at the streets.
Isn't that from Captain America?
It very well could. You could look it up. Oh, you know what? I'm going to Google it. It'll take me 2 seconds. But
nuts.
This guy, and he was so proud of it. And I'm just like, that is single-handedly the most dystopian thing
I've ever
heard of.
Kind of disgusting. Yep, really.
It's Raytheon.
Dude, but going back to the taxation is theft meme, when I saw Han and Leia, When I saw Han standing in the carbon freezing pit, and Leia saying taxation is theft, and Han saying I know, I was that I said this is fantastic, this is fantastic.
It is.
And no, I didn't see the Google search charts, but
oh no, it was great. It was completely flat, and then all of a sudden, like this week hit, and it just spiked with taxation is theft as just a.
We got to get to the younger generation. We can't. While I know that I get frustrated and I demean them all the time, but at the other hand, I'm never turning them away. We've got to get to them. Anybody who could be saved needs to be saved. We've got to work on this.
Well, you just have to explain to them that the government is your school, right? How much did you like high school, really?
Oh, I hated high school. Well, actually, no. I liked high school.
I loved high school in some ways.
I loved high school really around junior year. That's when I started getting into my groove, and I had all the teachers in my back pocket.
Likewise. Do you know why I enjoyed high school?
Why?
Because I got on a bus every day, and I took a welding course.
All right.
At a different school.
That's good, then.
This was offered. It was welding, building, nursing. You could be a licensed nursing assistant out of high school, culinary, all these trades, and you've got like five or six high schools got bussed to an older high school that... You know, they shut down, but then they opened it up for just... It was basically a vo-tech school. And I took welding every day. That's why I liked going to school.
It's fun. And you know, and you had that kind of a thing. You see, that's good. We don't have any of that shit. Nobody has any vocational type of courses. There's no woodworking classes anymore. There's nothing like that.
No, my district is a complete rarity in that we have a... jewelry course, graphic design, engineering, woodworking. That's all at my specific high school. The one where the Pam Smart thing happened.
Just look at that link I sent in, the Google Trends taxation and theft.
Did you just put that in the chat?
Yeah, or if you can put it up on the screen for people watching the video cast.
Hold on a second. Capture.
I mean, you could just see it. It is like a flat line, and then suddenly it's just exploding.
Oh my god. Holy shit, hold on a second. Let me screen capture this. Interest over time. Look at that. God. Talking about the hockey stick.
Yeah, oh,
it's just a brick wall. It's not a hockey stick, it's a brick wall, man. Look at that. 2004. March 2004, 33. Well, what are you saying? Wait, is this in thousands?
It's adjusted to means. That's like some adjusted. It's adjusted to percentage of what it is currently, and they're not saying how much of a how much it is totally.
January 2016, taxation is theft, 6. March 2013, partial data, taxation is theft, 100.
I added Ron Paul as a term, and they actually don't even match up in regards. But Ron Paul does spike again during this election area.
We can do this. We can do this, man. Here's the one thing that I have to hold firm on, that once these kids that are just voting based on what's in front of them and what is really popular, and what's really popular, unfortunately, is racism. Okay, it's been made popular by progressives. Racism, classism, all these isms, all of these identity crises that we have, and this and that, and there's a war on women, there's a war on this, there's a war on everybody. People don't feel safe leaving their house. They totally fucking feel safe leaving their house. And if they don't, they need to be put into a goddamn padded room, okay? But what I'm thinking here is the second that they get their first paycheck, unless they never intend to work, then they're going to rethink this.
Someone who I think has a very interesting mind that's on Tumblr is, I believe he goes by with hyphens between it's Association of the Free People.
Yes.
He has a theory about the new Puritans existing in the form of progressives.
I've got to get him on. You know, I've been talking to him. I believe that he's going to start writing for ZenLive.tv.
I was going to actually message you like today about him because he needs to talk.
Do you guys want to write for the website? There's absolutely no requirements in frequency or anything like that, and you can plug your blogs all you want, and it doesn't require you.
My race car sponsors, MMS Northeast, if you're building a steel building in New Hampshire.
You got it, man. Anytime.
Yeah, I'd love to do that.
Okay.
I actually have a few things roughed out for you, but I keep forgetting. How do you want them?
I'm just looking for 200 to 300 words max on any subject you want that you think is pressing, anything that just grinds your gears and you want to go on a rant about. I would like to just get the who, what, where, why, when, and maybe a small little history lesson or a link to something that could...
I was going
to
say, hyperlinks.
Yes.
Google Docs, Word Docs, what do you want?
I don't know. I mean, this doesn't matter.
PDF.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, or just URLs to different whatever, or URLs to maybe a corresponding post that you publish on Tumblr. Maybe that's a way that you can integrate your blogs into there too. You know, maybe you put together a master post for a certain type of historical event that has some kind of a tie-in with a recent event, and then that could just be the end tag. And for more on this from a historical perspective, click here, blah, 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 and it goes to your blog. And I can get you guys set up for that. It's all in WordPress. The ZenLive.tv is in WordPress, so...
Oh, it looks pretty good for that.
Yeah.
I like it. So,
just a comment on what I think the phenomena is, or, well, I haven't so much thought of it, but Stefan Molyneux perceives the modern political correctness as basically just virtue signaling. And it's like, it has to be about stuff that's so obvious that nobody... Like anybody who's trying to have like a real conversation, like, oh, taxation is that, they can't get past it because it's like, oh, but you're racist.
Yeah.
You don't like socialized medicine, you're racist.
Yep.
So it's all virtue signaling. And they'd rather signal to each other, oh, I'm virtuous because I want, you know, the social medicine and the planned economy and the jobs and the minimum wage. But what they really are avoiding, and they're saying, oh, you're racist, you're sexist, you're everything if you don't support it, mm-hmm. is that you cannot talk about, you know, it's like, can the adults have a conversation?
Yes. Yeah. And here's this is the problem here. The kids' table, and we were talking about this all the time, but the kiddie table has been given rights instead of just go to the kids' table, eat your meal, shut up, adults are speaking. And much of it has to do with this child worship, this complete overbearing type of shift in view on how parenting should be. Also, it's very, very politically advantageous. Federal education has really tried to co-parent children and to try to bring to politicize children, send them home to actually preach and rebut their parents' way of thinking, to try to usher in a new way of thinking, eliminate traditionalism, all of that stuff. And the other thing is, when you think about...
takes a village.
Oh, dude, it does totally takes a village. That's why
if I have a conversation with people about public schooling, I say to them, okay, what if the school was funded by Walmart? Would your kid come out of that school
favorable view of Walmart?
Most likely.
They would have pictures of all the Walmart CEOs on the wall.
Would they not?
And you'd hold your hand on your heart and sing the Walmart theme song every day.
Totally.
It's just another incorporation. And when you want to talk about, you know, incorporations that fuck you, Frank, you guys, you talk about it all the time. You know, like, which one? Point to me. Which one is bending you over and taking your money?
I just need to know.
It's the one on 1600 Pennsylvania Ave.
Exactly. Exactly. Right.
It's the other one on the hill, too. So.
My band has a show tonight, so I have to go be the bassist for Intergalactic Peace Jelly.
Dude.
That's fantastic.
Break a leg, man. And listen, are you filming it at all?
I'll try. I'm going to bring my camera, and we'll try and get one of somebody to film it for us.
Try to get some, because I put some footage. I'd like to watch it.
Yeah, well, I've already got some videos on YouTube. If you go to The Natural Law on YouTube, I think that's my channel's name.
Okay.
There's a couple of videos there, but also you can find a lot of our different stuff. We've got our EP up on SoundCloud.
Hey.
Sounds
yeah.
good.
Yeah,
sounds
should,
good, man.
You should listen to it, as especially I'd like to get your musical input on what we do. So.
Give it a,
for sure.
Can you give it a genre?
We are like a prog jam band.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
Liking it.
I hate genre. Like, I don't do that thing, but I just want it to get a ballpark.
Hey, what's your genre, man? What's your genre?
Well, I'm Black Ghost Doom Metal with a side of Swedish.
We have a little bit of, black metal in there, but you know, for the most part, it's very doom.
Metal dudes do it the worst, and you know it.
Oh, dude, totally. Metal is the most pretentious. It could be, can be, and in many ways is the most pretentious type of music. Everybody's like, no, you know, it's straight up heavy metal, or they're the thrash. The thrash is dead, obviously. Speed metal is dead. Death metal is hanging around.
At least power metal has. I'm a big metalhead, but I at least power metal has a sense of humor about itself
yes.
at this point.
That's why.
That's like Gwar, right?
No. No. I wouldn't say power metal. Power metal is more. I would
it's
say like mystic,
like Viking and folk metal.
Mystic prophecy.
Okay.
I would Hammerfall is power metal.
I know the sense that you're talking about because I'm a big ska punk guy, and it holds the same joke that you go and watch these guys that have been touring for 20 years, you know, with a ska band, and they're like, can't believe you're still here.
Totally.
And they're still wearing Hawaiian shirts, and they're still wearing plaid shorts, and it's fantastic.
Depending on how seriously you take yourself, you're going to go far. You take yourself seriously, then people are going to be serious about you. If you loosen people up, then people are going to want to hang out with you, whether you have a new album out or if you're just making another round of on a tour. That's just it. And bands that have a good sense of humor usually stick around a lot longer, because I'll tell you, man, especially in metal is very, very, the metal community is anal.
Definitely worse than punk.
Oh, dude. I mean,
that.
No, the punk purists, they are a little annoying.
Oh, definitely.
But metal, I mean, even Maynard called out Tool fans a couple of months ago. You guys see that?
Oh, yeah.
Called them pretentious assholes or something like that?
Jump for this. Thanks for having me on.
You got it, man. Have a great one.
Rock on.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
But I do love music community. Like, you cannot beat it.
No, definitely not. It really is great. But and it all makes for good stories too.
And then, as I got into bands when I was like 11, 12, and I'm still listening to them. And now they're breaking up because they're getting old. Mm-hmm. And that makes me feel old.
And you know, for a long time, I was one of those people that said, oh, you know, I really loved Metallica, but whatever. You know, I've been out of the loop. I haven't keeping up with them, and I don't know. They're just getting old. They played so brilliantly. And completely reawoken something in me the night before the night before the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah, that was a big thing.
Everybody put up that petition to have Metallica play the Super Bowl in San Francisco, and instead they played at Candlestick Park or whatever. What was that one? AT&T.
Yeah. And it was the night before. It was a big promotion. They did streamed it live, I think.
The live stream was so good, and they did so well, and it sounded great, and people were just having a great time. And I just sat back, and I'm like, you know, all these years later, these guys just, they treat their fans so well, and they're hard workers, and fuck anybody that ever just took the time out to criticize them. Go create whatever the fuck you do. Go really? Create something, and have it last for decades. And then come back and talk to me about Metallica. You know, I may be out of the loop on everything after Death Magnetic, but that was my Metallica, Pantera, my childhood, man. You know, so I'm happy for them too, and I really want to meet them one day, really bad.
I'll tell you, rock and roll's about to take. I know this is going way over, but rock and roll might take a faceplant depending on how this AC/DC Guns N' Roses thing goes.
Yeah. Guns N' Roses.
Quite the story.
Axl has one more shot.
Axl has one more shot, and the rumors behind Brian Johnson not actually being deaf, he got asked to leave the band.
Mm.
There's these rumors, and that Axl is going to sing for AC/DC.
Wait, what?
Yeah, that is a rumor. Actually, it's a 2-and-2 kind of rumor. Because right now, Alice in Chains is opening
are
on
they,
the Guns N'
Roses. Wait. Is AC/DC and Guns N' Roses on the same bill?
Not yet. But
Axl
also
is not going to be able to handle two sets a night. He's not going to be able to sing for both bands.
For what he does? I mean, freaking Steve Tyler had to get, like, vocal cord surgery.
He's not going to hold out. Not going to be able to hold out. He's already going to have to play it safe with a lot of all the old stuff. The Guns N' Roses stuff. He's going to have to bring it down a couple of octaves.
Yeah.
You know, so who knows? That wouldn't be.
I saw Rush like 7 years ago. And they still put on a good show. Geddy Lee, not hitting those high notes, though.
Geddy Lee, best bass player ever. You ever see Orgasmo?
Can't say I have.
Oh, man.
I don't know what that is.
That is Trey Parker and Matt Stone's first release. Ron Jeremy's in it.
They're good buddies with Rush.
Dude, hilarious.
They do.
Hilarious.
They open their show with the South Park clip that South Park, the dudes, whatever the names are, made the clip for the Rush shows.
Devin Townsend, who is actually Max is a fan of Devin Townsend. When he came around with Strapping Young Lad years ago, I didn't go to that particular show, but my brother did. And he said that they came out, before they came out, they played Blame Canada, because they're Canadian. And from South Park, Bigger, Longer, and Uncut, which is still, it holds up. It is an amazing film. But aside from that, Johnny, thank you so much for joining me tonight, man.
Absolutely.
And hopefully all of your views have been expressed properly.
New World Order.
New World Order. Black Ops everywhere.
I'm telling you, he's working out for a WWE belt.
Something's going to happen.
Jack Swagger. Jack Swagger's a constitutionalist wrestler.
You think
they have everyone stand, put their hands on their hearts, and scream, "We the people," at the WWE matches.
Good for him.
Imagine a Trump-Alex Jones match. I mean, come on. It's bound.
That'd be great. Although
America, please!
Maybe Trump will be his manager, though, because he's all in for Trump right now. He says Trump.
I mean, there could be a Jesse Ventura heel.
Imagine that. Imagine that. Jesse comes back. Oh, God. All right, dude. Have a good night. Oh, yeah. I can do it all night, too. I just don't want to, you know, we've had a good show so far. I don't want to go past that point. But I'll talk to you soon. And next week is going to be pretty good because, you know, next Friday is always a chill show, or I try to have it a chill show. And I think we have Liam Sheff coming back on. So that should be full of all types of good stuff. Everybody have a great, great, great week. Hockey Rob, holy shit. Haven't seen Hockey Rob in a while. Good to see you, Hockey Rob 69. We're just about to get off. But you guys can stay on, of course. I'm going to play some old radio dramas. Hold on a second. Old-time radio mysteries. Let's start with, yes, an episode of Suspense with Orson Welles, The Dark Tower, 1944. Okay, so that's what we're going to start off with tonight. I hope you guys have a fantastic weekend, and I'll see you guys tomorrow. Who knows, we might even broadcast a little bit. I think that we're going to have a little birthday gathering for me over here at the studio. Just going to do low-key. It'll be a night full of hookahs. If you're in the tri-state area. All right, guys. Have a fantastic evening. You all kick complete ass. Nirvana Lover, Moonlit, Mad Mints, Johnny, Hockey Rob, Frankie, Max, Gadget, and all the Anons. Be good. Take care. I'm going to do some meditation as well, Gadget.